This is Steve Sherlock. Thank you for coming here to listen. I encourage you to listen completely through the audio of this conversation. One of my guiding principles is content within context. The research that we discussed during the conversation was completed after the recording. We don't need to change the recording. It can stand on its own. The reveal, however, is important to be considered within the context.
I was just going to say, anybody who'd like to talk to me, I'm usually at the senior center in the mornings till around noon, and I'll be the guy sitting on the sofa just kind of looking around. Mm-hmm.
Steve Sherlock here for Franklin Matters. Franklin Public Radio, available anywhere, anytime, on the internet at WFPR.FM and in the local Franklin, Mass. FM radio dial 102.9. Here in our glorious studio today with Robert Kaufman. Robert, welcome and thank you for coming in.
Well, thank you for inviting me. I appreciate this.
We're going to have a good conversation so that, you know, people will find out, and if they aren't already aware, at least have some info to so have a conversation, because this is a discussion. This is not an easy choice. But before we get into that, since I've already teased, let's let people know a little bit about you. So, like, who's Steve talking to?
Okay. Well, I'm originally from Chicago. We moved to New England in 83, and we're living up in Andover. And the company I was with closed our facility, consolidated, which was in North Andover, and they had most of their facilities here in the Attleboro and Mansfield area. Mm-hmm. So we moved to Franklin in 92, and it was the perfect time because our daughter was just starting high school, and our son was starting middle school. Yep. I still call them junior highs, but that's a Chicago thing.
Yeah, I know.
Anyway,
right.
Sixth grade, whatever it is.
Yep.
And I got to tell you, it's the best place we've ever lived.
Mm-hmm.
We enjoyed Andover, but it was a little too highbrow.
I grew
up in a very small farm community north of Chicago.
Okay.
So it was the Franklin of Illinois. 7,000 people. Had a barn in our backyard the first year. I fit right in.
And
I found out about Franklin because I was talking to our HR VP. And I said, where do I look?
Yeah.
I said, do I want it north of Attleboro? He said, no, you want Franklin. His daughter and son-in-law had just moved here. So he gave me the whole rundown on Dean College and the library and Horace Mann and the whole bit. What sold me was that he said, the town is 60% Italian. I said, good restaurants, right? He said, yeah. I said, where do I look? Company was using DeWolf at the time.
Right.
And we told her we want a new house. We want to build it from scratch.
Sure.
She took us over to Franklin Chase, which was the original Toll Brothers.
Yeah.
And the rest is history.
That's right.
Here we are. Kids still live in the area.
Yep.
Daughter and granddaughter live with us, and our son lives in Franklin. And the senior center is my post-retirement career.
Yeah, I spend a lot of time there, so I know it's a lively and happening place every time I'm in there.
Oh, yes. It's amazing how many people walk in, and of course they don't always identify themselves, but they're people who work at other senior centers.
True.
And they're just there to very quietly observe,
check
and
us out.
And sometimes they'll show up, you know, at the Sunshine Club or the discussion group on Thursdays.
Right.
So the word's out there. And the EOEA, which I know has changed, they were the example.
Yeah.
And Tri-Valley uses us as the example.
Correct. Yeah.
So that's
nice.
It's nice to know we're doing a good job.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's lots of good people there.
Yeah.
Certainly I talk with either Sarah or Ariel on a monthly basis in terms of what's coming for the events. And
right.
We record 30, 40 minutes just covering the highlights. And we're also saying, well, you know, we need to spend some time in, like, what's Monday, what's Tuesday, what's Wednesday, because there's so many other regular things that are happening that don't necessarily fit into the highlights. But that's the schedule. It's there.
You know, if you remember from our interviewing days, you always had your traditional resume or CV, but you also had your 30-second elevator speech.
Yes.
You cannot do a 30-second elevator speech on the senior center. It's impossible.
No, yeah. Go there, walk through, and tell me it's a place that you... Why wouldn't you go there almost as whenever you could?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
That's about as short as I can make it. Because
that's
you
pretty
have
good.
To go
that's
through
better
there.
Than I've been able. I'm impressed. It's better than I've been able to come up with.
Yeah. Well, that's part of my. I facilitate the writers group, so we have some practice in terms of phrasing, and it's related to the reporting I do because you know words matter.
Yes.
Details matter, and we're going to get into some of those.
Yes, which is...
Nice little segue. How about that?
Thank you. Okay. So, for everybody who's going to be listening to this, I am a member of our Council on Aging, and there was a letter written by the council members, less my signature. I am the lone dissenter. And it's addressed to the town council, and basically it strongly recommends that the council not accept the $26,000 donation that has been received to cover the cost of our wellness nurse for a year.
Right. So, and we can back up a little bit because, okay, what were the circumstances as to why the donation even originated? And again, that's what we can explain a little
bit, right? You're right. So, as everyone knows, we've had two override attempts, and they both failed. And if we go back to last year with the original vote... One of the things that was on the, there were two things on the chopping block for the senior center. One was half of our revolving fund, our rainy day fund, which was $125,000, and the other was our wellness nurse. At the last minute, the council decided not to eliminate the wellness nurse.
Mm-hmm.
Now, anyone who listened in to the council meeting we had after the most recent vote may remember that it was Chief Lynch. I was trying to get clarity on the whole thing, and Chief Lynch stood up and he talked about you can't keep pulling rabbits out of the hat.
No.
And my reply was, yeah, the rabbits died, which is the only thing people remember. I don't know. Anyway, and the reason I spoke and other people spoke is they said it's time to stop crying wolf and then coming up with the money at the last minute.
Mm-hmm.
Do it. You're going to eliminate the wellness nurse at the center. We're going to eliminate one of the three ambulances and all this other stuff.
Right.
And I've heard from a few people that they didn't like the way I phrased it. But I said, this is never going to vote pass until some of the people who voted no feel the pain. That may not have been the most diplomatic way of putting it. But
I would concur on the diplomacy as well as I've used similar phrasing to the extent that, you know, change and in my corporate life, and I think having talked with you, some of your corporate experience as well, change is hard.
Yeah.
Especially in a corporation, even more so in a community, because you really need that conversation, which is why we're doing what we're doing, to get some of the background out there so that the discussion, because it's not going to end just in our conversation, it's not going to end just in the next meeting, it's going to come back again in future budgets, right?
And
but change is hard. It needs to get coordinated. It needs to get talked about. It needs to get bought into, not just from a financial perspective, but just from a philosophical perspective. Where are we trying to go? What are we trying to do? What is the problem we're trying to solve,
well,
right?
I told and you I was not going to go off topic, but...
Well, this is part of the topic.
When we had one of the first subcommittee, you know, finance meetings last year, there were a couple of women who, you know, were lifelong residents of the town, And I remember one of them was absolutely, she was crying her eyes out. She was beside herself. And she said, why is my house so so expensive? And the taxes, you know, have gone up. And I went through that as a kid in the farm town I grew up in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And every time I drive down Partridge, I look at these beautiful little capes and salt boxes. And those are the people who built those houses or bought those houses 50, 60 years ago, paid whatever, well under $100,000.
Right.
They're now reselling for $400,000 and $500,000.
Correct.
They're paying $5,000 a year in taxes. They can't afford it.
I know.
But unfortunately, they no longer have the option. Maybe they did 20 years ago, of selling the house, taking the proceeds, and moving west to Blackstone or something.
Mm-hmm.
They'd have to move to a cabin in the Berkshires. That's the only thing left for them.
Right.
They can't even rent because rents cost more than a mortgage payment would today. It's a no-win situation for them.
It is. It's
and they've got my empathy along, hopefully, with a lot of other people. I don't see a solution for it.
There's no immediate solution.
It's a horrible reality that, right, you know, we're all living with. I had downloaded a state document that showed every override vote in the state going back to 1991.
Mm-hmm.
And it said we had had six.
Yes.
And some were for school funding, some were for general funding. It did indicate that. And the only...
Technically, there's two types of votes. So a school building is more of a debt exclusion. An override is an operational budget.
They identified it as an override. I thought it would have been an exclusion.
I think they put it into the one category.
Oh, is that okay?
From a data perspective, but yeah.
The only one that passed was in 2008 for $2.7 million. It's when the high school is about to lose their accreditation.
Right.
So I'm thinking to myself, my God, 40 years and they've only passed one override. Now, I'm looking at similar sized towns,
mm-hmm,
and there were very few that have only passed a single override.
Right.
So I mentioned it at our, our council meeting, and one of the members said, I'm going to email you something. I think it's 9. So, sure enough, it's 9 attempts. I happened to have a meeting with our administrator, and he said, it's 11. I said, you're making this worse. Now we have 11 attempts. Well, I said, is it something in the drinking water?
It depends upon how you count and where you're getting the data from. I have a spreadsheet on Franklin Matters, franklin.news, that has the history. So I don't have the number memorized, but the history's
there. Said to him, is it something in the water? What? It's not like it's just a recent thing. This is, 40 years of
systemic.
This.
Systemic.
Different people live here. And we still can't get an override to pass. I said, people love the fact that we're only paying $11.61, per $1,000 on the homes. So I said, the only option is to pass an override every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know the solution. Obviously, nobody else does either.
We have to change that conversation.
The only positive thing is we lost by 300 votes the first time. We only lost by 200 the second. So, but at that rate, it's going to take 10 years to get.
I know. Yeah.
Anyway. The council sent this letter to the...
Council on Aging.
Council on Aging.
Right. So if people hadn't heard, because sometimes on Senior Center / Council on Aging, you're effectively an advisory body for the Senior Center as a town department?
Yes. Even though our name is always on the top of the newsletter, it's a state
requirement.
I think it started back in Romney's administration. Because Franklin Senior Center has an administration.
Correct.
A director, a deputy director, coordinators, and so on. We are only in an advisory role.
Correct.
There are towns in Massachusetts whose senior center does not have an administration.
So the
and
COA,
in those cases, the COA is running the senior center.
So the execution. Yep.
Needless to say, you know, I was always in constant communication with our former director and now our current director and deputy. And I have to admit, I don't really do that much advising. I'm more I let them know what's going on. They're so tied up
involved
doing
in
what
the
they're doing.
Yeah.
My professional management style was management by walking around, and that's exactly what I do at the senior center.
Yes.
So I said, hey, are you guys aware of, you know, not tattling on anybody,
right.
but I'm saying, for instance, when we raised the prices in the cafe, it's been a month now or something.
Yeah, beginning of July.
I not only went to breakfast, when I do, I get there at 8:30, but I hung around for at least an hour just to see what people's reaction to it was. And I said, you know, I overheard people say, yeah, okay, prices have gone up, but I don't know the last time they went up. So they weren't upset. I think one person said, oh, the toast used to be free. Now it's a dollar or something.
Right.
That was it. So yeah. I said, nobody walked out.
Right.
We found out that they're ordering a little differently. They're skipping the toast or something, but it's working. So
right.
They understood.
Yeah.
They've lived through all this horrible 20%, you know, accumulated inflation going back a few years ago.
Right. Right.
And
yeah, and I think it shows, on the one hand, the senior center is a unique population, and I mean it respectfully and positively because I'm also part of it.
Sure.
But they're an active population.
Oh, yes.
You can't go into the cafeteria for breakfast or lunch without having the buzz in the cafeteria. People are talking.
Yes.
And what are they talking about? They're talking about life.
Yeah.
And what's happening and how it's going. So
they're
aware, in most cases, of the true accuracy of the details. So they knew at some point in time
it was going to happen.
It was going to happen. And to the credit of the administration, they minimized it as much as they could. They could have gone higher because clearly we're seeing other higher prices elsewhere. But they minimized it, and thereby it was, quote, kind of a non-event.
Right. And in fact, there were even a couple of them, you know, who knew that I was on the Council on Aging, and they said, wow, you know, the eggs are now $3 and the toast is... I said, listen, they had to break even.
Right.
At a minimum.
Sure.
Our prices have gone up just as much as everybody
else's.
I said our chef has, because she lives in Rhode Island, she buys all her pork in Rhode Island because of the...
cheaper prices.
Yeah, cheaper prices. So I said, basically what she did, and she did what every corporation does. They spread the increase over the whole menu.
Absolutely.
So yes, some things went up more than others.
Right.
But it's now covered our...
Sure.
Covered our...
Well, and the other factor, I think, artfully done was to kind of minimize the amount of change. So it was kind of in the increments of dollars wherever possible, but in some cases, you know, easy change amounts as opposed to others.
One of the things we learned at the gun club when, you know, we do the 4th of July, no change. Everything is an even dollar. And I conveyed that to... You know, our director and our chef, and I said, it could be a little problematic making change. I said, at the very least, always make it 50 cents. Don't start with quarters and so on.
Right.
And they said, I said, if it's a problem, then you have to rethink it. But try and do that and see what happens.
Okay.
So
we had the override. The nurse position did get cut this time as opposed to being saved last time.
It did get cut this time, and I am going to say that, and I have conveyed this to several people already, if I was in the director's position, I would have made the same decision.
Mm-hmm.
As I understand it, every department in the town had to give up something, either staff or, as in the case of the fire department, the ambulance.
well, staffing to put the ambulance and on the road.
Right.
Yeah.
And
police did staffing changes as well.
In our case, and again, I'm looking at this strictly, not a political decision, a business decision.
Sure.
The lesser of all evils was chosen.
Agreed.
And that's what I would have done. And again, I said I wouldn't use name. The wellness nurse knows that she and I have been in.
Right. Yeah.
So here we are. What my fellow Council on Aging members have done is really take more of a political view of these things. I look at things differently. I had to play politics for 40 years when I was working, because you have to do that to survive in corporate life.
You do.
I'm not in corporate life anymore. No, I've been out of it for almost 10 years.
We're enjoying not having to do
so, that. So, with regards to my philosophy of managing by walking around, actually, I don't do that much walking around in the mornings when I get there. I sit down in the sofa in the front lobby, and I just watch people coming through the front door.
Well, you're letting them walk to you.
Yes.
And thereby doing the observations.
That's right. Let them do the walking. Right. I like that. Yeah. I have to remember that. Overwhelming majority of the people I either know or recognize. But occasionally, a new face will appear. And having worked literally all over the world for most of my career, if you can't speak the language, you better learn body English.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell when they walk in if they're stressed out or not.
Yes.
So my goal, my philosophy on any senior center is that it's there to provide community so that people can be with their peers.
Mm-hmm.
Went through this with my mother.
Sure.
Came to live with us after her husband died, and she'd been with us about a year, and I walked down to make her breakfast, and she's at the kitchen table, and she was shaking so hard I thought she was going to levitate.
Uh-oh.
And when I got her to calm down, I said, "What's wrong?" And she said, "I miss my friends." What she meant was she missed being with her contemporaries.
Sure.
She loved it with us. We had our granddaughter living with us,
mm-hmm.
and our daughter. She said, "We got four generations under one." It's like the old days.
Absolutely.
You know,
multiple generations.
80 years ago.
Yeah.
But she missed
sure.
the camaraderie and so on, and being with people with like concerns
sure.
and so on. And it was at that point that the enclave first opened 12 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
She was in her element.
Yeah.
In fact, I remember telling me at one point, she said, she didn't understand exactly what a assisted living facility was. She's
right.
thinking nursing home.
Well, those are new so terms. They were
right.
they were developing.
Oh, exactly.
They did not exist
right.
when we were growing
right.
up as kids.
Yeah,
right?
You're right. This was 12 years ago.
Yeah.
So I explained it to her, and I said, "Listen, it's brand new. It hasn't even opened yet.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just go over and look at it." She said, "I don't want to. You're going to put me in prison." I said, "Humor me." So we walked through the front door, and whoever designed the building did the most brilliant thing. The front lobby is also the library.
Yes.
So you've got, you know, the book-lined walls
mm-hmm.
and very nice furniture.
Sure.
And she turns to me and she said, "This reminds me of my dorm in college." I said, "Hold that thought.
We
just went from prison to..." And she
yep.
loved it. She was there 4.5 years.
Yeah.
So I understand the whole thing with community and, more importantly, sanctuary.
Yes.
You know, the sign right now, as you pull in the main entrance, says we're a cooling station
yes.
or whatever.
Yes,
yes
station,
we are.
Yeah.
And we're a heating station in the winter.
Winter time, yep.
And if you need it, you can get a free meal.
Sure.
And between the council and our administrative staff, there's at least 20 people there to help you.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that's difficult is we don't have badges, so people don't know who to talk to.
True.
Well, we've remedied that for the Council on Aging. We're all, the nine of us are going to be getting badges.
Oh, cool.
I mean, the budget is so tight, I made a donation to pay for it. But we've got another 12 people or so in the administration. We don't have the money right now. So anybody listening, if you want to drop off a check at the front desk for $10. Go for it.
That sounds like a good idea.
But it's important that they know they're not going to walk up to to a stranger and say, I'm help me.
Right. Yeah, on the one hand, it's nice having been there multiple times. And again, because I've been there multiple times, I kind of know the players. And because of my role, I need to know the players because I'm talking to them is to figure out, you know, how to share the news and what's happening going on. And with everybody the same, that's fine. Because then it's open for anybody to have that interaction. But for those who are really the new ones, respectfully, you want to know that you're talking to kind of the staff in some cases. So having some sort of a badge or a vest or
something like that
makes a difference.
It does.
Yeah.
It does. So at least the COA will be identified. But, you know, in any one day, you may only have a couple of COA members.
At any point in time.
But you always have the administration.
True.
I mean, I had joked. I said, why don't you just rubber stamp us in the forehead every morning in Day Glow ink and they'll know who we are. They didn't like that idea.
No.
Anyway.
Yeah.
But it was cost effective.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. So we make the decision because there were people who were back the council members and we cut the position. We cut the wellness nurse. Immediately, there were people who were part of this Thursday discussion group that I talk about and the library group, I call it, and they said, let's put this in perspective. Here we have a situation where the town is unable to continue to fund the position because of the override.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing I did the day after the vote is I grabbed one of the FOFI members and I said...
And FOFI is Friends of Franklin
Elders. Friends of Franklin Elders.
That's okay. Well, that was going to be one of my questions in terms of Friends of Franklin Elders, if people are not aware, that's the 501c3 nonprofit that supports and does other fundraising and grant making for.
And it's tied in, believe it or not, to the Council on Aging. I've got the state statute that controls COA and the FOFI and so on.
Yep.
And I said, can you cover it? Because I'll get into the details in a minute. They've paid for salaries of two employees in the past. This is not a new precedent.
That's what I thought.
The original wellness nurse, this goes back 11 years.
Sure.
When Karen was with us.
And Karen Alves was the prior.
I said I wouldn't use names. Okay.
That's okay.
Everybody knows who she is. God bless her. We wouldn't be here if it weren't for her.
Right.
They paid for the original wellness nurse for two or three years until the town was able to build it into their budget.
Mm-hmm.
And I got this straight from FOFI. We still have some FOFI members who've been there close to the third.
The records, I can go back into the budget details.
They did the same thing a few years later with our line cook. This was pre-COVID.
Correct.
And again, did the same thing. They picked up the tab until the town was able to.
Mm-hmm.
Now, yes, they're tax exempt. Yes, they're a 501c3. It's still private funding. It is still a private donation. I have had this conversation with several town officials, and they all say the same thing. Well, there is a difference. Obviously, this donation that's been made was made by a citizen of the town whose family has been here for 100 years, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they said, well, no, it's different. They're tax exempt. They're 501c3. And I'm waiting. I said, that's not a reason. That's not an answer.
No.
What does that have to do with it? And they just look at me and said, I don't know. I said, well, private money is private money. The issue is people don't realize that there's precedent. They don't realize that FOFI has done this twice in the past.
Right.
FOFI, in this case, can't handle it. I mean, they just gave a big chunk of money in January to the Sunshine Club because we didn't get the renewal on the respite grant, as it referred. Yeah. So they're tight on cash right now. God bless them for what they've done all these years. So,
but they also are a fundraiser, so the donation could technically go to FOFI rather than directly to the town?
Here's the problem. I asked FOFI, have they ever accepted an earmarked donation?
Well, and that's one of the
they
other
said,
key points.
No.
That's one
I
of the
said,
other key points.
Would you?
Yes.
And they won't answer me.
Yeah, because there's an earmark or restricted versus unrestricted donation. That's one of the other key determiners.
But I've been asking the same question. Show me. Show me a statute. Show me something in writing that says a private citizen, other than, you know, a group of private citizens in FOFI, can't earmark a donation for salary. For salary.
Right.
People make donations to Sunshine all the time. Family members, you know, after their parent has passed away, and they make not huge but significant $2,000-$3,000.
In some cases, they can.
And they're earmarked, and we gladly accept it.
Right.
So,
and I think to the extent that, and getting to the letter, and I'm somewhat ahead of you, but related to that. So the town, I think, is also exposed, and I'll use that carefully in my point of view, because the letter references a school committee policy, not a town policy, in terms of the use of restricted funds for such purposes.
Right, and that's paragraph 2 on here, and I'll get to
that. We'll get to that, But I think the point simply is, and we'll get to that in terms of that, but the town doesn't really have, as I've understood, and I've been doing this reporting for some number of years.
Yes.
I've heard, and we can go back and pull up the FinCom meetings and the town council records for those FOFI donations to fund the clerk, et cetera, and have that as document because the archives are available, the resources are there. The town page may not have it because they've gone through a couple of iterations. So every time they put up a new page, they break the links to the prior ones. But guess what? After they did that the first time, I protected myself by maintaining a separate copy of many of the docs.
So the links now at least aren't totally lost.
They're either not totally lost or I have the doc with its full name so I can go searching more specifically into the town page and potentially find it, assuming they still have it. If not,
good job.
There's also a Freedom of Information request that through the town clerk's page, in some cases, she'll have it because of the meeting reports and meeting minutes and things of that sort. It may also be in the annual report. That level of detail may only be in a council or committee meeting report, which is not in the annual reports. The town has the documentation, is the bottom line.
Okay.
And we can go back and dig and find that.
All right. Let's get to the letter. So the letter was submitted
July 11.
It's been about, I think it was Monday of last week or over the weekend. So as I mentioned, I had a meeting with Jamie a few days after that, and I said, when does this letter become public? And he said, it's public right now. The minute it was delivered to the council members.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, super. He said, you can copy anybody you want. And then I said, and can I talk to Steve Sherlock about it? He said, absolutely.
Hence, we're talking.
Thus, here. Okay, so I will first say that we've got a very dedicated group of people on the aging board, and I totally understand where they're coming from on this letter. But as I've already addressed, I look at it differently. I'm concerned not with the politics, but are we providing our patrons, I can't think of a better word, with what they need to improve their quality of life?
And I think patrons is appropriate because on the one hand, a significant majority of them generally are Franklin residents, but we also have other neighboring towns
we
who
will
have
help
a lot
anyone
of people
that
come
walks
in there.
Through that front door to right. the extent that we can. There are certain
Correct.
Things we can only provide to
right.
to town residents.
Yeah. And okay. to first come, first serve in some cases, simply because of the capacity of whatever the service
right.
is.
Right, right. Yeah. I know our you know, special lunches and stuff, we, right. we realized that there were a lot of town residents who weren't able to sit because mm-hmm. it was first come, first serve, so now we're giving priority, which makes sense.
Yep.
Okay, so the letter went to the town council, and you have indicated you've posted it.
Yeah, it's up on Franklin News.
Okay.
And it was part of the newsletter yesterday.
Wonderful.
Today, we're recording this on Wednesday, so it was on Tuesday. And it's been posted through other social channels, including Facebook.
Okay. So, the Franklin Council respectfully recommends that the town council not accept the recent private donation made to the senior center, which is restricted to funding the salary of a part-time nurse. Point one, equity and fairness. Allowing private funds to direct staffing decision opens the door to unequal treatment and the risk that individuals with financial resources could exert disproportionate influence over municipal human resource decisions in the future. Now, I know that there are also people who would add to that and say that this opens the door to people and or organizations with agendas. It could be political, it could mm-hmm. be religious.
Right. It becomes a slippery slope.
To me, this paragraph conflates the issue. The gentleman who has submitted the check for $26,000 and change is well known. His family has been here for 100 years or more. Yes, he has earmarked it, but people know who he is.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have an agenda.
Right.
This is really referring, and I know this is going to raise the hackles on a lot of people, this is talking about the chance of people in town being bribed.
Right. This is,
as we used to call it in Chicago, dark money.
Yep.
Can it happen? Sure. I mean, there's people who say everybody has their price. I don't believe that. So, you got to separate that. We are talking about, this is trying to cover a universal, as they see it, a universal problem. You have to look at each one individually. We have a known entity who's made the donation. The position and the person who is filling the position, it's not a new person. It's not somebody trying to mm-hmm. shove in an unknown entity.
Right.
She has been with us 8 years, I believe. And I don't want to get into what she does because I've said it too many times, but I will leave it at this. She so far excels her job description that you can't even describe everything she
right.
does.
Right.
Now, we are lucky in that we happen to have the Board of Health nurse have her office here. She's not worked for the Senior Center. She works for the Board of Health.
Correct.
When we had both of them, people don't realize how lucky we were. What our wellness does in her little office, our Board of Health nurse does by making house calls. So in a sense, her right. job is even more important because she's doing what our wellness does for the people who can't make it in.
True. And that's where the coordination between the two, and I have from my reporting experience, a
right.
lot of the Board of Health meetings, et cetera, that collaboration, that coordination provides a total level of service to us as Franklin residents. And that is truly, from a health perspective, needed in many cases, and there can be, and there likely will be, in other additional cases where so-and-so did this on this day, and then it resulted in something else, generally good.
So what happened was our wellness nurse and her boss came in and met with our director and deputy director, and her boss says, you can have her for one day a week. So she's now going to be here on Thursdays. However, all we have to have is a minor health incident outside of this building, and she's gone.
True.
Because that's her primary responsibility, as it should be.
Right.
All right, so back to the letter. So we have this whole thing about equity and fairness. And yes, I mean, the last thing, maybe I'm giving the town council more credit than other people are. They're not going to accept an anonymous donation with an earmark on it.
One would hope.
Yeah, I guess.
Well, and I think that
maybe I'm being naive.
Well, the two things I would add to this, and we touched on one.
For a salary.
Agreed, because that's where it's targeted in this particular case. So if it's for more, you know, operational expenses and or funding other particular project, the other key piece is, should the town at least have an opportunity to review and discuss and approve?
Well, of course.
As opposed to, it's like this, we won't even touch.
Right.
And that, I think, is one of the things that, from my point of view, we need to have a discussion around it.
And separate from that, anybody who gets hired, it requires the approval of our human resource department, and I'm assuming our administrator. I don't know who else is involved in that.
Yeah, generally from a hiring perspective, the hiring department has key personnel as part of the hiring process. And then they do the background checks, vetting, et cetera, with approval of whatever the department, can be simply...
But when they're anonymous, there's no way they can do a background check. Now, change that a little bit, and the same thing happens. It's earmarked, but the person does identify themselves, but nobody knows who they are. Mm-hmm. That's where the background check comes in.
Correct.
I had to go through a background check before I was able to join the Council on Aging. Oh, I'm sorry. First, the Sunshine Club.
Sunshine Club.
And HIPAA and all that stuff. Yeah. And I forget if I had to do it, if they did it again for the Council on Aging. So...
Well, it may also be a timing issue where if you've got one of record, it's good for, in some cases, a couple years or something.
Right. Yeah. So anyway, so that's how I'm addressing the equity and fairness. It really is mixing apples and oranges, the way I see it. You've got two different scenarios going on. So of course not. I said to the gentleman who made the current donation, I said, you a cash conduit for a foreign government? I said, are you trying to put an agent in place in Franklin? And he looked at me and said, what are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
I said, I just checking, doing my due diligence. I wanted to check. He said, No.
We have some health services that are being looked for, and I have an opportunity to provide.
So anyway, so that's my rebuttal on paragraph one. Paragraph two is a little bit longer, but so everybody knows what's going on. Policy consistency. Accepting this donation would create inconsistency across town governance. The Town of Franklin School Committee has an established policy prohibiting private donations from being used to fund salaries, etc. I'm not going to read the rest of it.
We started talking about this too because, and I understand.
But there is precedence. That's my answer to this.
Well, the precedent, then, we started talking about this before, accepting to create inconsistency across town governance.
Right.
The school committee policy is referenced. The town, I don't believe, has equivalent policy.
Right, they do not.
So we've exposed the gap.
And, again, FOFI started doing it 11 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
We have precedents.
Right.
So that is all I'm going to say on number two. On number three, operational integrity. Staffing decisions at the senior center should remain under the purview of its management, who are best positioned to assess and deploy resources in service of our constituents. Okay, here's where it's going to get a little tough, because I'm not sure I can answer this as diplomatically as I would like. It is our duty and our responsibility as citizens to question both our elected officials and, in this case, a salaried employee mm-hmm. of the town.
Right.
They can call whatever shot they want. We're paying their salary through our taxes. We have a constitutional right
mm-hmm.
to express our disagreement with
sure.
that.
Yep.
There's more things I could say, but again, I'm respecting the confidentiality of discussions that I've had.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't say it. I would like to say more, but I can't.
That's fair.
But hey, that's what a democracy is all
Absolutely.
About.
And the point of this...
Well, Patrick Henry, I may not agree with what you say, but I'll fight. Well...
Yeah, right.
Here we go.
And the point of this, to reiterate, since we mentioned it earlier, the point of this is to raise some factors around so that people can have a legitimate civil discourse
yes.
around this topic.
Yes.
Whether it's precedent or not, it will reoccur given our financial circumstances. And we need to determine whether the policy needs to be changed or whether the policy stays. And clearly then the conversation hopefully will recreate the awareness so that whether somebody feels the pain or not, hopefully at some point in time, we get additional funding, which the common way is through an override. Case closed. Or at least that's my case. I'll leave it there.
Well, yeah, I don't know if it's resolved, but
partially
contained. I don't know, whatever. Okay.
That's for the jury and or voters to decide.
Absolutely. Somebody jokingly said at one of the conversations I had, they said, maybe the way we need to govern this town is with a Ouija board.
Ouija board.
Yeah, that or, you know, the eight ball with the...
The magic eight ball. As opposed to the newest technology, AI. Well, what would AI tell us in terms of how to handle this?
You know what?
That'd be scary. I would not want to go down that
road. I know there's some people that are very uncomfortable when they Google something now. They very often will get an AI
answer first, which is the problem. Because if they look at that first, that's not necessarily the best answer.
Right. But.
That's another topic.
It gives you food for thought.
Absolutely.
I mean, AI does in a matter of seconds what it would take any of us hours.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Respect for voter decision. In June 2025, Franklin voters chose not to pass a Proposition 2.5 override with the understanding that such a decision would necessitate reductions in staffing and services across the town of Franklin. Accepting private funds to restore positions contradicts the democratic will expressed through the vote. It absolutely does not. That is wrong. They did not vote that they wouldn't accept the donation. They didn't want the town to have to spend any money on it. There's nothing there was nothing in the ballot that says
right.
We won't accept donations. So yeah. That is so wrong, I can't even begin to
Well, and the one issue, two issues potentially that I see in that. On the one hand, I do respect that the town has, call it a trust issue, because people don't believe certain things that the town needs to and does, and how, the way they're going. And I think that disjointed the vote. Because there's an awful lot of people who were upset about the buildings and the zoning and, you know, apartments, et cetera.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that complicated the issue because, oh, by the way, if you're going to do something, there's a town vote for replacing the school committee, town committee, et cetera, town council. that's the right place for that kind of decision and citizen engagement, acknowledgement to send the message, as opposed to affecting the budget, because this was for level services. So it just meant that whatever we were getting this year, whatever we were getting last tax year, we would be getting this year.
Right.
And oh, by the way, costs increased, so it had to get increased in order to do so. And yet they confused the two, so now it's causing the problem where the police cut, fire cut, library cut, and the nurse got cut. And yes, to your point, it doesn't did not say that we could not find other money, but that in itself comes back to the trust issue, because if we do find money, then the belief is, oh, they'll always find money, and then they won't vote for an override because they'll find money.
But that money, but the town council had absolutely, this is private individuals doing it. They're not being coerced by anybody, hopefully, to do that. Mm-hmm. So it is totally independent of the town government.
Right.
These are people who are holding higher moral ground, I would like to say.
Right.
And they're doing what they feel is the right thing.
Right.
One of my favorite words is rectitude, doing what you know is right.
And we've enabled them by prior elections, in some cases multiple elections, to do this governance on our behalf.
Yes.
They are the governing body overseeing the town operations. They hire a town administrator, they approve a budget, they approve some bylaws, etc., but they're effectively an oversight and governance body on everything else.
Yes.
And similarly on the school committee. They're an oversight and governance body, they hire the school superintendent and approve the budget, but then all the rest of the details in between, town administrator, school superintendent, handle all those details. You're in one of the roles as a council on aging where you're effectively helping to advise one of the departments.
Exactly.
Who now has this situation in, you know, it's kind of like, in person, I don't know how I would make the decision because I see both sides. I see it's a tough choice. And
well, I can tell you very honestly that this was an extremely gut-wrenching decision
for
our director.
For sure. Absolutely.
Absolutely beside her.
Oh, yeah. Anytime you're making a personnel decision in order to solve a budget, and we've done this in corporate years in different roles as well, I'm sure, because anytime you're a department manager and the budget cut comes, you got to make some choices.
In fact, it was
never easy.
It was at that point where I didn't know what to say to her, and I basically said, if I was sitting on your side of the desk, I would have made the same decision. So you did what you had to do.
Mm-hmm.
You did what you had to do.
Right.
I don't know that I have anything else to say unless you have questions, or how do you want to go from here? I've answered the three, you know. Well, actually, the last statement on the letter, and it kind of goes back to the beginning about point number two, policy consistency, accepting the donation would create inconsistency. It basically says, accepting this donation could set a troubling precedent and undermines transparent governance, community equity, and proper management authority. We urge the town council to consider the broader implications and decline the offer. And again, I go back to the fact that we have precedents in the senior center via FOFI. So,
yeah, and that's where memories being what they are, the records will show the precedents, and I'm assuming they will, because I certainly recall it, and I will find it. If we don't find it, we'll certainly disclose that we could not find the proof, the needle in the haystack, so to speak. But such is the case that, in terms of bringing this to a closure for this particular recording, one, we want to create awareness. So the letter has been posted. You can download the PDF. I transcribed the letter so that the text is actually there, as opposed to a PDF doc, which is sometimes hard to read.
Yes.
The text is there.
Super.
The PDF is there. And we want to have a conversation, a civil conversation like we have had, in terms of these are the pros and the cons.
And
is there something else that we haven't yet come up with that would lend weight one way or the other, and then talk with others in the process, certainly coming up for August 13th, the next town council meeting.
Correct.
It'll be an item on the agenda, so citizens' comment won't be appropriate in that case.
Right.
But when it comes to that agenda item...
My understanding is the letter will be part of the public agenda, but that doesn't come out until the Friday before the meeting.
Correct. That's their standard process.
So it was important to me...
To get ahead of it.
That the voting residents of Franklin were aware of this.
Right.
And that's why I contacted you. I mean, I've only given the copy of the letter to half a dozen, dozen people. I'm low on toner right now.
I have to
get a new cartridge before I can...
The PDF is at least easy to share. And
yes, it is. Yes,
way.
It is. Yep. So, you know, here we are. Whatever's going to happen is going to happen. I don't have, a grudge to pick with any of the council members. They did what they feel in their mind is the right thing, and that's what it's all about.
Mm-hmm.
And I grew up in Chicago in a family of Daily Democrats, and I was at the Democratic Convention. It was not a riot, by the way. It's a separate story. I'd love to tell you sometime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway, so I know backroom deals, and my grandfather explained to me when I was very young about the aldermen and the wards and so on, which I believe is similar to New York. And that's what you grew up.
Sure.
That's what you grew up in. Then we moved to Massachusetts, and obviously it's like Chicago, dominantly Democratic, but totally different.
Totally different.
Totally different.
Yeah.
I mean, Chicago last Republican mayor was Big Bill, whatever it was, 1931. That was the last Republican. It's been 90 years. Cermak won the election. That was the mayor that was killed during the assassination attempt on Roosevelt.
Okay.
Big Bill, whatever it was. Anyway, so it's been 90 years of Democratic rule, and as they always said, it may have been corrupt, may have been a lot of illegalities going on, but it worked.
Yeah.
Right now it's not working, but it did for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Then you move to Massachusetts, and it's a whole different thing. There's so many different cliques within.
Sure.
And I mean, I like it. I like confrontation. I'm one of the few people who does, because it puts other people at a disadvantage because they hate confrontation. But you've got people here who are very opinionated, but they back up their opinions. The one thing I say I'm allergic to is uninformed opinions.
Yes. Yeah.
You got a lot of people here who do their due diligence. Mm-hmm. And that, to me, that makes for a good, I don't care what side you're on, that makes for a good debate.
Yeah. It needs to be a data-based decision.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, thank you for taking time.
Well, thank you for listening to me for an hour or more.
And for the listeners, we hope you've got some information. You can certainly check out the links. The links will be in the show notes, franklin.news. You can search for the letter and then watch for the agenda for the August 13 council meeting. Have a conversation at the senior center with your other neighbors, however you want. I'm assuming you, as a COA member, you're accessible. You certainly sit.
I was just going to say, anybody who'd like to talk to me, I'm usually at the senior center in the mornings till around noon, and I'll be the guy sitting on the sofa just kind of looking around.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, or ask somebody who I am and they'll point me out.
Where's Bob?
So,
until you get your name tag.
Who's that crazy guy on the road on the radio? So, I'd love to talk to anybody who wants to chat.
Right. Well, thank you again for doing this.
And I'll buy you a cup of free coffee.
Absolutely. And then we can have a conversation.
Yes.
Because, that's all I'm about. I have good conversations and we want to have a good conversation.
Yes.
We're all in it and we need to solve our problem.
Yes.
It's just us.
It's not them and us. It's we.
It's we. It's we. Yeah. Well, thank you again. And for the listeners, thank you for listening. And we do this as a quick reminder because Franklin matters.
This is Steve Sherlock. The research results are summarized in table form with supporting narratives copied from the annual reports published by the Town of Franklin from 2010 through the current. A combination of grant and Friends of Franklin Elder funds were used in an apparent orchestrated campaign to gradually bring the folks in, covered with grant money, supplemented with the Friends of Franklin Elders, and then eventually with town budget funds, which all makes sense. So the COA letter is at best inaccurate. No speculation on how or why, that is not the point of this. Given the proper set of data, it may be that the Council on Aging, if they were to reconsider their decision in light of the revealed info, may still make the same decision to not accept the gift funds. But at least the record will properly reflect that Friends of Franklin Elders funds were used for funding positions from 2010 to 2017. Given the forthcoming town council discussion and decision, at least they will also have the proper set of data upon which to make their decision.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. By the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.